This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Woo! I'm telling you, we have something to rejoice about, don't we, brothers and sisters? Oh, man. I tell you what, the songs that we sang this morning and the interpretation of tongues this morning just should move us closer to a walk with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can, as the interpretation said, bask in His presence. I'm telling you, if we don't take time in this busy world, you will miss out what God calls His exceedingly great reward. He Himself is the greatest reward man can ever attain in life. And He freely gives it. I'm telling you what, it is just great to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be in His family of church, and especially here at Pincho Park Assembly of God. Thank Amen?
You. Thank you, Lord.
I have a few announcements of upcoming events. First of all, I want to let you know that picnic is 26 this weekend, but the following weekend, we're having it right out here at our own pavilion. There will be no Sunday school that morning, so we will start at the regular service time at 10:30. We will need help setting up and bringing covered dishes for food. And if you want to participate in that, if you could contact Rhonda, she would greatly appreciate it. Also, Wednesday, June 9th, there is no classes for Royal Ranger or Wednesday night services for Rangers, Missionettes, and Adult Bible Study. There will not be on June 9th. June 10th through the 26th, the missions trip is going on over to Ethiopia. We do ask that you continue to pray for us. We do need your prayers. We covet them so that the Holy Spirit may guide us to do the work of God while we're over there. And protection, because there, if anybody has been seeing the news, it is not a very good time over there. God is the God that protects us. So we are going to be under His arms of protection, and we're going to be blessed and bless those over there. Also, we are collecting supplies for the VBS, which we're having in August. Hallelujah. August 6th, 2nd through the 6th. So contact Karen Webb if you are going to participate or wish to help in that event. It is going to be a time to bless our neighborhoods in the area, and it's a great outreach. Also, there is water baptism happening July 18th. Contact the pastor if you are interested in being baptized this year. July 18th, and it will be held at 5 o'clock at Dave and Cindy's house. If you have any questions, you can see the pastor, and he will fill you in. I guess that's about it. I see more writings there. Keep up the good work, church. We do appreciate all you have done. Let's welcome the pastor here. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you, Harry. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day it is, right? Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. We welcome our phone church, and also we welcome our live stream. Verse 2, Genesis 35 and verse 2. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would minister, continue to touch every heart and every life. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Father, we just pray that you will continue to touch the needs of our church. Lord, that you will touch the ones that aren't feeling well. Minister, Lord God, to them, we pray. Heal, Lord God, who needs a healing. And Father, we will give you the praise and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob then had commanded everyone with him to get rid of foreign gods, the idols that many of them had brought with them. Not just Rachel, but all of them. In Genesis 31:35, Rachel had taken them in her camel sack, a saddle with its carpet, the covers made comfortable seat. Also, there was probably were idols among the loot taken from Shechem when they were in Shechem there in chapter 34 of Genesis. And to come into the presence of a holy God, they must purify themselves and they must, according to scripture, change their clothes. This would indicate putting off the old way of life and as they came before God. It meant also a new trust. A trust in God, a new one, and in, of course, God alone. Then we see at Bethel, Jacob would build an altar to the God who had answered his cry of distress. And when he fled from, when the time that he fled from his brother Esau, and who had fulfilled his promise, of course, to protect, provide, and be with him. In chapters 34, we find a lot of hideous and vile events that took place. God tells Jacob to take his family to Bethel, which of course would be in a total obedience to his word. Jacob realizes the spiritual decline that his family was in at this very moment. So he tells them to put away the strange gods that are among them. He instructed them to destroy the idols they had brought with them. What they were to do was very simple, was to remove from their homes everything that would anger and offend God. That which would violate, of course, God's word. Anything that would break God's law, he wanted them, of course, to get rid of. I want us to look today at changing lives is Jesus' business. That's his business, is to change lives. It was Karl Marx, the father of modern socialism, who said this: philosophers have only interpreted the world differently. The point is, however, to change it. After Charles Swindoll said, after serving the Lord for some 15 years in Pakistan, missionary Warren Webster was invited to speak at the Urbanen Missionary Conference. And he spoke very openly and very bluntly about his days that he was missionary in Pakistan. Part of his message, his listeners will never forget, are these words. And this is what that missionary said: if I had my life to live over again, I would live it to change the lives of people. You have not changed anything until you have changed the lives of people. Because changing the world, it requires changing the lives of people. If the world's going to be changed, then lives have to be changed. In the musical, Hallelujah, a praise gathering for believers that was written by Bill Gaither, the narrator breaks into the familiar medley, and some of you would probably know this, that says, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. From Genesis to Revelation. From Adam and Eve to May 3rd, 2021. Changing lives is and has been Jesus' business. He changed the rich. He changed the poor. He changed the high. He changed the mighty. And He's changed the meek. He changed my life. He changed my parents' lives. And He is in the business to do that. That's why He died, and that's why He rose again. Because Jesus is in the business of changing lives. You see, the key to changing the world is changing people. Wow. That is not an option, church. It is a necessity. It's a must. The one thing that keeps us laboring for God is the hope of change. Charles Swindoll said this, "When I meet with people who have struggled through the battles, the valleys, and also the swamps of their experiences, and I search for reasons they hang on and keep growing, I discover that it is the hope of change. It is the inner conviction that God is at work, because changing them and working through them to change others." I want you to think back. Think back about 10 years. Maybe even further than that. Let's go back maybe 12 years. No, let's not do that either. Let's go 15 years. Let's go back 15. No, let's not do that. Let's go 18 years. That sounds like a good one, right? No, it don't. Let's go back 20 years. You have to admit it that your life today doesn't resemble the same person it did back then. Hallelujah. Because why? You're changing. Jesus' specialty is changing people. You know, I think back at times when I graduated from school. From high school. I remember my mother took a picture of me and I was in track uniform because I ran track. You don't believe me, do you? Yes, I was in track uniform. Boom, right along. Change. We all have, right? Go to Jeremiah chapter 18. I want you to, let's start with verse 1. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel." What other known? He was making a work on the wheels. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Wow. What was the prophet Jeremiah saying? I believe it's this. You're like a lump of clay to me. He was telling the children of Israel, you're like a little piece of, a hunk of clay. I can shape you, I can hollow you out and thin your walls and flare the top. I believe he was saying there in Jeremiah 18, I can make you decorative. I can reshape you and start all over again. Because I believe he was saying there in chapter 18, because I specialize lasting change. That's God. Wow. Wow. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter." From that verse, think about that verse. Now you're going to have to go back a long way now. But if you think about that verse, that is where we get a course. And that's where we get the course, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." Wow. It is the idea, church, of the Lord shaping us and changing us whichever way He pleases. If you look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says this, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That tells me something. And that tells me that we are His project. He got His eye on us. He knows what our tomorrow holds, and He is working on His project. Every day, every week, every month, all year long, He is working, working, working. Wow. So, what is He doing? He's shaping, and He's molding, and He's making us like He wants us to become. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." That means He's going to continue to work on us. Wow. What God starts, church, God finishes. He will not walk off the job. He will not say that person is just too stubborn. He's never met a teenager, a young child that He can't change. He's never met a middle ager that He can't change. He's never met a senior citizen that He can't change. God will complete what He starts. Wow. It might be painful. Hallelujah. It could be. It might be painful. You might say it's unfair. But God knows what is necessary for our lives. I read in the Gospel of John three fascinating illustrations. In the book of John, I read of them. All three have been changed. They were as different as night and day, but all three were like pieces of clay that was on the potter's wheel. What we read is these three illustrations, and we read them as far as hope goes. If God could change them, He can change anybody. Who were these people? Well, there was a wayward woman. There was a blind beggar. And there was a doubting disciple. What can we see there? We can understand there that they were all different. There was male and female. There was age difference. There was a physical ability that was different. There were some married, some not. Occupation, jobs were all different. And these people, they were all different kinds of people. I want us to look at the woman. It's found in John 4, verses 9 to 39. I want us to look at that one because we find ourselves at a well in Samaria. With this lady here, she's at the well in Samaria. The two people who are about to meet never met before. One a lady, the other was a man. It is here about 12 noon. The Samaritan sun is very hot, blazing, scorching, and Jesus is burning hot from his journey. So all of a sudden, we see that Jesus sits down at the well. Remember, during this time, that Jesus' disciples were out getting food. A woman then walks up to the well, just like she'd done many times before. Nothing has been different. No, she did it before, so she does it today, that day. But this time, we understand there's going to be change. Because Jesus is in the changing business, right? She's in for a change, and she doesn't even know it yet. Wow. Isn't that, in a sense of the way, isn't that what makes life so exciting when we don't even know it? That would be yes. When we don't even know it. That's exciting. When we don't even know it. You see, when you know about something, you could get excited or you might not get excited, right? But if you don't know anything about it, it's exciting. You know, when you think about it, you might think tomorrow is going to be just another dull day. Did you ever wake up and you'd say, boy, today's going to be a very dull day. I remember when I was boating this past Tuesday. Remember, the guy that gives you the little stickers? He's there at the door, and I said, well, I hope you have a good day. He said, it's going to be a long day. He knew exactly it's going to be a long day. Then God, all of a sudden, you think it's going to be a dull, bland day. Then God says, hey, so-and-so needs a little change. And what you thought was a boring day all of a sudden becomes exciting. Exciting. So here is a lady who had an idea, who has no idea at all who she was talking to. This man who was a Jew said, give me a drink. Not being Jewish, or Samaritan, I don't think you and I can really comprehend or appreciate this, but we'll try to get through it. You haven't seen prejudice like they knew it. We haven't, like they knew it. It's like going from Judea to Galilee, but not going through Samaria, but going around Samaria. Do you remember Jesus spoke about that? Said, I must go through Samaria. He can go around it. He went through it. Anything to keep from encountering Samaritans. Remember, where's his disciples? They went to the local restaurant to get some food. They're in town. And Jesus is left alone with this woman at the well. John chapter 4 and verse 9. She was confused. She was a little mixed up. She was a little dazed. Not only are you speaking to a woman at a well that's on a street, you're talking to a Samaritan woman. Not only you're a man, but you're a Jewish man. And Jews in Samaria stood out like a police officer in the back streets of the meanest cities in the world. And the lady is thinking, how ridiculous is this? You're a Jew and you're on the wrong side of the tracks. You're in my area. You're in my region. You are in my district. You're on my turf. And all of all things, you are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. Are you out there somewhere? Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Starting with verse 10. John chapter 4, starting with verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you know the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman says to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman says to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw." Wow. Wow. That's what Jesus said to her. I believe what she heard, she liked. And what she heard, she wanted. Jesus didn't have to plead. He didn't have to beg. He didn't have to bribe her at all. She said, "I'll take it." Now, she was going to get the biggest change she ever knew of. "Let me call," she says. "Let me call the local plumber, though." You with me? "Let me call the local plumber so he can make it easy and I'll get it piped right into my house." And she says, "Oh yes, I'll take that living water. I'm getting tired of this long walk. I even get a headache from carrying the water jug." Church, the sad part of that is she missed it point altogether. She was thinking of the literal water, the fleshly water, not the spiritual. And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband," and she starts to stutter. I have no husband." And at this very moment, Jesus exposes as he unveils this life. Jesus reveals her life, and Jesus goes public about her life. Go to chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. I want you to look at verse 28. Well, let me tell you something. My Bible changed. That is the only thing I can think of right now. That is not it at all. If I would read that, you'd say, "Where is he at?" All right, so I'll give it to you this way. But if you will not do so. Behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. That's where it's supposed to be. If you do not make good your word, you will be sinning openly against the Lord. What it says. And you may be sure that your sins are going to find you out. A guy went into a fried chicken place in Long Beach, California, and bought a couple of chicken dinners for himself and his date late one afternoon. The young woman at the counter inadvertently gave him the proceeds from the day. A whole bag of money, much of it cash, instead of the fried chicken. After driving to their picnic site, the two of them sat down to open the meal and enjoy some chicken together, and they discovered a whole lot more than chicken, over $800. But he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag. They got back into the car and drove all the way back, and Mr. Clean got out, walked in, and became an instant hero. By then, the manager was frantic, and the guy with the bag of money looked the manager in the eye and said, "I want you to know I came to buy and get some couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money. Here." Well, the manager was so thrilled to death, he said, "Oh, great, let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture put in the local paper. You're one of the most honest men I've ever heard of." To which the guy quickly responded, "No, oh, no, 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 don't do that." Then he leaned closer and he whispered, "You see, that woman I have, that I am with, is not my wife. She's somebody else's wife. For sure, your sins will find you out." Jesus has a way of cutting and piercing the veneer, the facade, the false, the artificial. That's what happened to the lady at the well. Chapter 4 of John, looking at verses 19 and 20, it says this. The woman says to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship?" Wow. Obviously, this lady, she's awkward. She's embarrassed. She's a bit disturbed, and she most likely doesn't want to talk about this her situation, not at all. You with me? So very quickly, she wants to talk about religious issues. "Let's talk about something else," she says. "See, you see that mountain over there? That's where we are told to worship. Let's talk about that mountain." She's saying this to Jesus. "Let's talk about that mountain. Let's talk about theology. How about let's talk about those people who say they're a Christian, but they act and talk like they're the devil himself." What was Jesus saying? I believe he was saying this, church. Let's talk about sin. Let's talk about sin. And she said, "No, let's talk about mountains. Because mountains are more comfortable than sin." In John 4, 21 and 26, we're not going to look at it, read it, but at this important time, what happens is Jesus' disciples, they got the food and they came back. Here are 12 tired, hungry guys. And probably they are thirsty at this time. And they hurried back because they were ready to eat. And when they came to the spot where Jesus was left, Jesus was face to face with a Samaritan woman. And man, they were breathless. They were shattered. They couldn't believe. They couldn't believe what they were witnessing. They were gawking. They were staring. They were wide-eyed, mouths open, stomachs are talking to them. And in John 4:31, which says this, in the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Master, eat. They were saying, come on, Jesus. Let's eat. Man, we have pizza. We've got steak. We've got hamburgers. We've got hot dogs. We've got chips. Are you hungry yet? All kind of good stuff. What do you want? And in John 4:32, Jesus blows them away. One thing about John 4:32 is his meat that he was talking about, the harvest he was talking about, were the Samaritans. Wow, you get the picture? They were leaving their town. They were leaving their area. And they were coming to Jesus. And they were believing and counting on Jesus. And in John 4:33, the disciples were thinking about the carnal. They were thinking about the temporal. They were thinking about the flesh and the physical, while Jesus was speaking about the spiritual. John 4:33 was a top-notch moment. There were times when these guys were not really with it. There were times. What did you give him? You can hear him talking. What in the world did you give Jesus to eat? Remember, we went into town to get something to eat, to bring back. But what did you give Jesus? Did you give him, Jesus, a cheeseburger? Hey, where did he get the food? And I believe in John 4:34, I believe Jesus is saying, come on, guys. Come on. Don't you guys get it? Where have you been? What have you been doing? It's not literal food. It's not physical food. We're not talking here about pizza and cheeseburger and hot dogs. Guys, where are you at? And I believe Jesus, probably this time, because I think Jesus liked baseball. I think he said, guys, get in the ball game. We're talking about eternal things. Remember, Jesus says, what I told you just a few months back about a harvest? It's getting better, guys. What happened? What took place? That Samaritan lady, she changed. And Jesus got her to see the truth. Jesus got her when in the presence of Jesus, he changed and took. She changed her life. And when we come into his presence, things of unrighteousness are going to be unveiled and uncovered. And Jesus is like a big searchlight. And when we clean up our act, when we change has taken place, and that's what happened to this lady. She was changed. She was a different woman. She was a changed Samaritan. And she didn't just sit there. She went and told the people what happened. Will Rogers said this, even if you're on the right track, you're going to get run over if you just sit there. Even if you're on the right track, you're going to get run over if you sit there. And one man said this, if your horse is dead, for goodness sake, dismount. Change. Change. is exactly what this lady did. She changed. She changed. She didn't know who she met that day, church. But she met a man from Galilee who changed her life. Jesus is in the changing business. He's in the changing business. He changes lives. He will change our loved ones. He will change our life. He will change them. Shall we stand? Father, I thank you for all that you have done. I thank you, Lord God, for how you've blessed and touched. And Lord, I thank you for just this very simple illustration, Lord, in the Bible, the story that you gave, a parable, that you change lives. And Father, I pray right now that you will help us. Lord, there are loved ones, Lord, that need changed. Lord, there's people that used to come to church. They used to worship you. They used to glorify you. They used to praise you. But Lord God, now they can't find the time to do it. And Lord, we know through the scripture that you didn't change, but they did. And Lord, I pray right now that you will help us. And Lord, if there's anybody here in this place or listening by phone or by live stream that needs a change, I pray, God, that you will change them. Lord, I pray that they will cry out to you. I pray, God, that you would help them. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them the strength that they need. And Lord, let it not be too late, I pray. Father, I love you and I praise you for it. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are in the changing business. Lord God, there's many in this world that needs changed. And Father, we will give you the glory and the praise for it. In thy precious name, amen and amen. Bless you.